Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:07 British Summer Time. Today is July 19th. Well, we continue to see that the dynamics that were posted on Friday, they certainly weren't countermanded today. And the bias for European markets remains downwards. Wall Street finished out today a little bit firmer, with the Dow Jones up about 0.5%. But that certainly doesn't go anywhere near countermanding those big downward dynamics that we saw on Friday. And in Asia today, there was a follow-through into the Asian session, with Australia down just under 1.5%. But the leaders in Asia were relatively unchanged, with the Indian, Thai, and Korean markets all relatively steady in here today. The Philippines has been a little bit softer over the last couple of days, but continues to hold the breakout that it made, it must be about 2 weeks ago at this point. And these leading markets in Asia continue to be relatively unaffected by the really quite bearish tone that seems to be really to permeate the European and US markets. Into the close, we saw that IBM and Texas Instruments both missed their earnings estimates. And the fact that we're seeing some of these big companies, particularly in the technology sector, coming in a bit below expectations is not exactly the kind of news that is going to make people run out and start buying. Elsewhere, in the commodity markets, the oil price was a little bit firmer in here today by f nearly 40 cents, but finished out the day considerably off its high. Natural gas rallied off its low. It was as low as 4.45 and closed out the day in the region of the $4.50 level. So it's been a little bit softer over the last couple of days, but continues to hold the majority of that upper dynamic we saw last week, and continues to look like it's under accumulation. Elsewhere in the commodity sector, the industrial metal complex has been a bit softer, and really tin remains the only one of them that is trading above its 200-day moving average. In the soft commodities sector, which has been the leader in terms of the commodity sector generally, there's been rather a lot of activity. We see that corn, soybeans, wheat, and oats are all up at the upper side of their 18-month basis. And wheat in particular, as well as oats, have sort of raced to get to where they are right now. So the likelihood of some consolidation of recent gains really has increased quite considerably. They really would need to hold the majority of their gain and sustain breaks upwards out of these bases to indicate that demand is regaining the upper hand over the medium term. And we are beginning to see that, in at least in the case of wheat, that there are some better crop news is coming out from the USA, and that is giving pause to people who may have been really quite long. There was a news item, or I can't remember where I heard it this morning, but it was regarding some hedge fund manager that had taken delivery of a large number of cocoa contracts, and that didn't do the in it really must have been quite a contrary indicator, because it didn't do a favor for the cocoa price, and it fell by the most in a number of months on the in the USA, and it was down by £100 on the life traded contract. So that decline is big enough to give pause to some of the more rabid bulls that have pushed cocoa prices up to really quite impressive levels, particularly on that life contract. It's fallen remarkably quickly on that US traded contract, which it may have done all the decline in one go. And what happens tomorrow will be really instructive as to where this commodity is going to go. But it had raced ahead. Now, elsewhere in the soft commodities, you've got sugar, which has had a phenomenal decline already this year and has been in the process of building support. And that US traded contract has a progression of short-term higher lows underneath it, but it's in backwardation right across the curve. So That's a major bullish factor. I think actually in sugar, it's from the second month onwards, it's in backwardation. And it's at considerably lower prices. So we're starting to see that there is bullish interest returning to this soft commodity sector, but it may be tomorrow's jam in to a certain extent, particularly with those grains and beans. Rough rice is also one that I'm sort of keeping an eye on. It's pulled back to the $10 level, and it really has had a very consistent and persistent decline, and has looks like it's finding at least short-term support in this $10 level. But it is really quite depressed. And whereas some of the other grains have got in the region of 18 months of base building behind them, rough rice has come from 16 to 10 since December, so this year, and is looking really quite overextended in the short term on the downside. So there is potential for this one to play catch up if we do see that these other grains and beans have got some bullish interest behind them and do sustain break supports out of their bases. The precious metals have also been of interest in here. They were all a bit weaker in here today. Gold, having had two key reversals in the last month from the area of $1,250, pulled back to 1,182 earlier on today, and I think lower than that because the prices have ticked over on my Bloomberg into the next 24-hour session. But importantly, we've had a little consolidation below that top formation, and on the one hand, we could call it a consolidation, and it could just as easily be called a distribution below the top. Gold is no longer appreciating in all currencies. In fact, quite the opposite. It's going down in some of the larger currencies. And clear upward dynamics are required now to indicate that demand is returning. There was a high consensus that gold was going to break upwards and run to the upside, particularly when some of the stock markets are pulling back violently in late June and early July. And that is simply not occurring. It's also pulling back towards its 200-day moving average, which is a potential area of support. And really, it really does need to find support in that area and push back up into that overhead range and sustain a move above $1,250 if it's going to fulfill its upside potential in the short term. We're entering a seasonally not particularly bullish period for gold. So we may be moving into another one of these lengthy ranging phases, which it has been prone to over the last decade. And certainly in the short term, it remains for the bulls to prove. Now, with gold looking a bit weaker in here, then palladium, which was the leader on the upside, has a relatively similar pattern where it has pulled back and has ranged for much of the last month in the region of this $450 level, and it was a bit lower than that in here today. Platinum, while still above the $1,500 level, has a similar pattern to palladium, and silver has pulled back below the $18 level, having looked like it was pressuring that $19 to $20 region over the last couple of weeks. So there is a bit of weakness right across the precious metal sector, and gold in particular. Really, we know exactly what it has to do if bullish interest is going to be seen to be coming back into these markets. U.S. Treasuries were a little bit weaker in here today, but they're up there at 127.19 at the close, and they were higher than 100. Well, they were close to 128 earlier on today. And when one looks at that on a weekly chart, it remains a relatively consistent uptrend. And whereas one could make lots of rational arguments for why U.S. Treasuries shouldn't be rallying, the fact is that they are. and that advance remains relatively consistent, and there is a high degree of commonality both across what could be deemed to be developed markets such as the USA or the UK or Europe or Japan, and across the Asian region generally, where the demand for these relatively high-yielding bonds has increased really quite considerably, and the fiscal positions of those Asian countries are considerably better than those in the West. But the high degree of commonality is indicative of an increased demand for government paper. And because we have the high degree of commonality, and because we have these consistent uptrends in terms of price or downtrends in terms of yield, well, there hasn't been anything that has interrupted that progression just yet. And until we see clear downward dynamics in the case of US Treasuries, then we can probably continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And it would really be for the US Treasury price bears to prove their case in this regard. The oil price finished out the day in the region of $76, and it's been ranging for much of the last month, but been really quite volatile in this below $70 to almost $80 range. But the oil price today is pretty similar to where it was a year ago. So year-over-year inflation from oil prices is relatively low, and it does suggest that oil has found an equilibrium level between $60 and $80. And whereas the progression of higher reaction lows that have been in evidence for much of the last year, and probably a bit longer than that, has been broken with that bigger pullback into the $60 level, or the high $60 level, the reality is that it has held its advance. And because it has been ranging and has rallied really quite impressively from below that $70 level, it does suggest that the risk is probably to the upside with the oil price. And above $80, it does then start to look like that we're getting into territory which could begin to offer a headwind for the global stock market beyond the $80 to $100 level. But we're not there just yet, and if what we've seen with the grains is any indication, then base formations that can turn into relatively lengthy medium-term consolidations are really quite possible in the commodity sector, and oil could continue to range for an extended period. So we would really need to see it sustain a break above the $80 level and hold it to really indicate that bullish demand is regaining the upper hand here. With regard to stock markets, you've had these downward dynamics right across the board on Friday. They haven't been countermanded in here today. And for a number of these markets, you're looking at a lower high. And for some of the laggards, you're seeing that they're encountering resistance below or in the region of their overhead 200-day moving average. So we've had the bigger pullback, we've had the distribution below the high, and they're now beginning to encounter resistance in the region of their 200-day moving averages. So those are bearish signals, are there bearish aspects to the consistency of these patterns that have been in evidence since last March. And particularly on Wall Street, we would need to see them sustain moves above, back above their 200-day moving average to really indicate that the bulls are returning. So it is for the bulls to prove, and sentiment remains really quite bearish, and there's probably a lot of reticence on the part of investors to get back into the markets in a big way. And well, we know what to see. We know what to look for to prove the bullish case. And in the absence of that, the bias, I think, it remains probably downwards in the short term. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.